just had one announcement. We have sign-up sheets in our display table, and you can write your name and address, and you will receive three issues of the Everlasting Nation magazine, and they come out every other month, and you'll receive one every month for 3 months. And they have a lot of good information about Jewish ministry, so that's just something I wanted to share with you. I hold in my hand a shofar. It's a ram's horn, and it's something that the Jewish people have been blowing for thousands of years. And depending on how it's blown, it has many different reasons for that. One is to let the people know that there's an army coming against the city and that they have to be ready to fight off the enemy. Another reason to blow the shofar is during the high holy days. And there's many different reasons to blow this, but I thought I'd give you a demonstration of what one of these ram horns shofar sounds like. Just an idea of what one sounds. The Jewish people could blow that much better than I can. I'd like to open with a word of prayer, if I may. Father, we come before you. I come before you, Lord, and I thank you once again for Pastor Leafley and in this church, Father, and their love and their sweet spirits towards us. And I pray, Father, that you give me a strong tongue and a strong heart to share that which you have called us to share, Father. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I can remember a pastor saying to me in his church, we were presenting our ministry just as we are doing it tonight, and he said to me, Brother Kretzel, you're going to Israel, but Israel is a closed nation to missionaries, so how are you going to do the work of the ministry? So I'd like to share with you and answer that question, because it's a very good question. Right now, we hope to go to Israel, as I mentioned before, in the summer of 2009. And right now, there are 5 missionary families that are in Israel, and they're serving in different parts of the country. And a Baptist church has been established in Tel Aviv, Messiah Baptist Tabernacle. And this ministry has a very unique, this church has a very unique ministry. It's called Project Nehemiah. Nehemiah in Hebrew means comfort. And this is a ministry where you have Jewish immigrants coming into the country, and many times they can't find work. And so this ministry provides for their basic needs until they can get a job. And it's based on the Word of God in Scripture, Romans chapter 15, verse 27, and it says, It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. And so we see here that God has called the church to reach out to the Jewish people and help provide for their carnal needs, their physical needs. And this is what this ministry does. Now, if you were to go to Israel next month, you would be given a 3-month tourist visa. And after 3 months, you have to renew that visa. You have to do that every 3 months. And after a while, if you don't have a valid reason to remain in the country, then they won't renew your visa, and then you'll have to leave the country. Now, as a missionary to Israel, your first priority is find a way to remain in the country. We can't tell them that we're missionaries. So we have to find another way of being able to stay in the country. We knew of one Jewish missionary to the Jewish people. And he was in Israel, and he was trying to find some way to stay in the country, but he couldn't do it, and eventually he had to leave the country. We know another missionary who was in Israel, and he decided to be a professional student. And he went to the universities in Jerusalem, and he did that for 12 years. And while he was going to school for 12 years, he was doing the work of the ministry. Now, this ministry, Project Nehemiah, is one which the Israeli government gives their permission for this ministry to operate within the country because they know that it benefits their citizens. And so as long as we're going to be part of this ministry, and we will be, we will be able to remain in the country indefinitely, and that's a wonderful blessing. Just a little bit about this ministry. We were there in 2006, and we were reaching out to these Jewish people. We go to different parts of the country, and we hand out these gifts. We call them gifts, and we give them to these Jewish peeps, these Jewish people. And we tell them, now, these are being provided by Christian churches back in America. Even individuals are doing that. And then we tell them which church is providing the funds for them. And many times when we tell them that, well, I know of one Jewish man, a very elderly man, when he heard that there were Christians reaching out to him to help him in his knees, his eyes just were turning into tears. He was so touched by that. He was looking at us as though to say, you mean to tell me that Christians love me that much that they will provide for my needs? And that opens their heart just a little bit to a gospel presentation. And so we're very grateful for this ministry that we're going to be a part of once we go to Israel. Yesterday, Pastor Chris was talking about it's a very exciting time now to be a Christian. It's a wonderful time. God has called us to be co-laborers with him, to share the gospel to the world. And right now we're seeing prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. We're seeing Israel, the Jewish people are coming from the four corners of the earth to come back to Israel, and God is fulfilling his word. And that's found in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12, where it says, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And it is such a wonderful time. It's just filled with wonderful fruit. We're seeing these Jewish people coming back into their land and reestablishing the nation of Israel. Amen. And we're seeing in Israel, when we were there, Jewish people coming to know Christ. God is opening the hearts of the Jewish people, and he wants to see his people come back to him. So this is a wonderful time. I was saying earlier when I was giving my testimony that the Jewish people had been a persecuted people throughout the ages. And one of the reasons why they're being persecuted is because of satanic attack. Satan wants to take this precious book of truth and replace it with his lies. For instance, he says that God has severed his relationship with the Jewish people because they rejected his son. They also say that right now, replacement theology, where some people believe that the church has now become the new Israel. And we hear the world clamoring every month, it seems like, telling the Jewish people, just give up a little more of your land and you'll have peace. A false peace, of course. And so I'd like to share a little bit from God's word concerning the lies of Satan and also what God says about his relationship with the Jewish people. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 17, and I'll be reading verses 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. And God spoke these words to Abram. He says here, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. God here is establishing a relationship between the Jewish people and himself. And God is saying that it's to be an everlasting relationship. One that will not be broken. One that will last for all eternity. Also in this passage of Scripture, we see God establishing the land of Canaan, Israel, as an everlasting possession of the Jewish people. And it's not to be touched by any other nation. It belongs to the Jewish people. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 23 and 24, once again, speaks about God's relationship with the Jewish people. And as you're turning there, just let me share with you, you can go through the Bible and see in Scripture God's relationship with the Jewish people. And it's one of love. It's one that's going to last for all eternity. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. "And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. Amen. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God." God has confirmed his relationship with the Jewish people before the whole world. And this relationship is one of love. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, God said these words of Israel, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God's love for Israel is an everlasting love. It's a love that will not end. It will endure for all eternity. God calls Israel the apple of his eye. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8c, "He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." I'd like to consider the contributions of Israel to us who are Christians. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20. "He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation." Paul in Romans in chapter 3, 2 states, "Unto them were committed the oracles of God." God entrusted his word unto the nation of Israel. It was the Jewish people who preserved and protected the word of God throughout the centuries, so that in the fullness of time, when Christ came down to this earth, Gentiles were able to receive the spoken and written word of Almighty God. It was the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading Isaiah in chapter 53, but without understanding. In Acts chapter 8, verse 35, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." The Ethiopian eunuch was saved by the written and spoken word of Almighty God. The first missionaries were Jewish. It was the Jewish believers who were the first to evangelize the Gentile world. In Romans chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle Paul said, "I am debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians." It was Peter who shared the gospel with Cornelius, and Cornelius and his whole household was saved. And that's in Acts chapter 10. We who are Gentile Christians should be grateful for the contributions of the Jewish people who preserved and protected the word of God so that we could know the gospel and become the children of Almighty God. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, God spoke to the Jewish people, telling them that they were to reach out to the strangers, the Gentiles, amongst them. "The stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." God is telling the Jewish people to reach out to the Gentiles amongst them and to consider them as their own family. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 11 to 14, and this speaks of what we were before we were saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, and this is a precious passage of Scripture. It says here, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." We're no longer aliens. We are no longer strangers. We are partakers of the blessings of Almighty God. and verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, both Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now both Jew and Gentile can worship God together, and that was God's plan from the beginning. The Jewish people, however, need to know about their Messiah. Israel is lost in their sins. They have now become the stranger. Jesus calls upon the church, you and I, to reach out to the Jewish people to meet their need by sharing with them their Messiah, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, Jesus will say to the righteous, for I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. God desires that we bring the Jewish people back into the fold of Almighty God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, Jesus tells the church, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And everyone in this sanctuary knows what that means. Not just the neighbor across the street, but the whole world. And you as a church, as your pastor, are doing that by reaching out and sharing the gospel to the world. At this present time, unbelieving Israel, by their rejection of Christ, are now the strangers, having no hope and without God. But God has not forsaken the Jewish people. In every generation, there is a remnant saved by grace, even unto this present day. But unbelieving Israel is without their Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. There are many who believe that when the Jewish people as a nation rejected Christ as their Messiah, God severed their relationship with him, He separated his relationship with the Jewish people. But this is not what the Word of God says. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Paul says here, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Paul states here that God is not done with the Jewish people. And he gives himself as proof of that. Paul, who was an Israelite, and he's saying, I'm proof of that. God is still seeking his people to come to their Messiah. Romans chapter 11, verse 11, Paul goes on to say, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Amen. And we see here in this passage of Scripture, once again, God has given the church the responsibility of providing for the spiritual needs of the Jewish people. And we see here that God says, provoke them to jealousy. Some people say, well, how do you provoke a Jewish person to jealousy? We have what the Jewish people had. We have a precious relationship with the God of all eternity. We have the joy of his salvation. We have the peace that passeth all understanding. The Jewish people had these things, and they don't have it now. And they're looking at the Christians, and they're saying, we had these things, and now these Gentile Christians have these things. And then we are able to share the gospel with them. Let us show you how you can have that peace once again, that you yearn for more than anything else. And so God has called us, the church, to reach out to the Jewish people. We are to share the gospel with the Jewish people. I have here a bookmark, and we're all familiar with the Romans Road. Well, this is the road to Zion. And you can share the gospel to a Jewish person from the Old Testament. And this is a listing of Old Testament verses that you can share with the Jewish person. There's only one New Testament verse here. And you can share the gospel with the Jewish person from the Old Testament. The Tanakh. That's what they call their body, their Bible, the Tanakh. And we have these bookmarks on our display table. So when you're leaving later on, please take one of these. You never know when you might encounter a Jewish person. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 states, let all things be done decently and in order. And I believe that the order of sharing the gospel is still to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God said of Israel, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What greater blessing can you bestow upon the Jewish people than to share with them their Messiah, Jesus Christ? I remember when Melinda and I graduated from Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. We went down to Texas to do our missionary internship. And one thing I kept hearing in Texas when we were down there, don't mess with Texas. And it's said in such a way as to suggest that anyone messing with Texas will be in big trouble. God says to the world, God says to the terrorists, God says to those who hate the Jewish people, I will bless them that bless thee, but I will curse those who curse my people. And there are people out there today that are persecuting the Jewish people. It was about a week or two ago, there were terrorists that went into India, and they were looking for Jewish and American people. And there was a Jewish couple. They were from Crown Heights in Brooklyn. He was a rabbi there, and he and his wife went to India to reach out to Jewish people there. And they were one of the peoples that were killed. And the people who came upon this couple, they were only in their 20s, and they had a little baby, and the baby was taken away and taken care of so that it wouldn't die. But when the people came to take care of these bodies, they said that they've never seen two people being so, their faces weren't even discernible. It was just they persecuted them, they beat them, it was just such a sad thing. These people said, I've never seen two people so horribly beaten up and killed. The Jewish people are still being persecuted. God has called us, the church, to share the gospel with the Jewish people. Most of the world has taken a stand against Israel. Israel stands alone. It has been said that the only true friend Israel has is the born-again Christian, and I believe that with all my heart. And the only nation that stands by Israel is America. Many attempts have been made to exterminate the Hebrew race. In Exodus, it was Pharaoh. In Esther, it was Haman. During World War II, Hitler tried to annihilate the whole Jewish race. He failed at that, but 6 million Jewish people perished as a result. Today, it's the Arab nations who are sending rockets into mainland Israel as we speak. In the Gaza Strip, terrorists are doing that all the time. And so it goes on and on and on. They are being persecuted. It has been said that the symbol of the Jewish people is the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 states, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Throughout their existence, the Jewish people have experienced the fires of affliction, persecution, and death. The soil of the earth has repeatedly been soaked with the shed blood of Jewish martyrs. Through all of these attempts to eradicate the Jewish people off the face of the earth, Israel remains, for God has not allowed his people to be consumed. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, Jeremiah said these words, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God stands by his people, and he will not let them perish. And you know, God stands by us, his church, his children. He will not let his people be consumed. God would have us, who are his children, to stand by his people, the Jewish people. God seeks us to be a blessing to them, to minister to them, and to love them, and to come alongside them and help carry their burdens, and to share with them their Messiah. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 9. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 5. And as you're turning there, let me just say this. This is chapter 9 of Romans. But in chapter 8, we see Paul pen the words of how we will never be separated from the love of God. And he's filled with great joy as he proclaims this, that we will never be separated from the love of God. But then we go to chapter 9, just one chapter away, and we see that Paul's heart has changed from one of joy to one of great burden. Follow with me if you would. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. And we see here in this passage of Scripture, Paul had such a great burden for his fellow Israelites, so much so that he says, of a truth, I would trade my places, I would trade my place and spend eternity in the fires of hell if it would be the salvation of his fellow Israelites. Paul had a great burden for his Jewish people, a great burden. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. These are the words of Jesus. And Pastor, I could just see Jesus on the Mount of Olives looking down upon this, upon Jerusalem as he said these words. They were very stern words, but they were words from his heart. Paul said this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. He had a great burden for his people, a great burden. And when Jesus comes back again, he will call his people back to him, and they will acknowledge him as their Messiah. Let me finish with this. When we were in Israel 2006 on a survey trip, we were just right near the Mediterranean Sea, and we decided to go down to the beach and see if we could reach out to some Jewish people and share with them. And we were down there, and we saw a sign in the beach. And Pastor, it didn't say drink Coca-Cola. It didn't say no dogs allowed on the beach. What it said was, go in peace. If you were to ask the average Israeli, what is it that you want more than anything else? What is it that your heart yearns for more than anything else? And they will look at you with sorrowful eyes and say, we want peace. We want peace. And they haven't had this peace for thousands of years. And God calls upon us, the church, to share with them how they can have that peace once again. Melinda and I are going to Israel, hopefully, Lord willing, in the summer of 2009. And we do ask for your prayers that our deputation would go quickly and that we'd be able to go to Israel and share with the Jewish people how they can have that peace again by sharing with them the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen. I just wanted to finish with this. Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. We want to thank you for the opportunity to present the ministry that God has called us. May God bless you all very much, and may God bless the apple of his eye, Israel. Pastor.
All right, I'll invite you to stand this evening. We could have a piano player and a song leader come up. We're going to have a time of invitation. We appreciate the slides tonight and the burden that God has put on this family and the call to the nation of Israel. And, of course, everything he said tonight is spot on. Right there according to the Word of God. I was impressed, or just thrilled, I don't know what the word is, but during his slide presentation when he showed the part that the Catholic Church has played in the persecution. You know, a lot of people want to deny that in our day. A lot of people want to overlook that or just say that was a little blot on the screen back about 50, 60 years ago. The truth of the matter is that was part of the devil's plot. to try to get it, and the Catholic Church used Adolf Hitler to try to accomplish their purpose. That's an unpopular pronouncement in our day. That's not politically correct or socially correct or religiously correct. And I appreciate a slide presentation that shows it the way it is. And his message tonight with Israel being the apple of God's eye. So let's sing a song of invitation. Do we have a page?
308.
Page number 308 in the songbook. We'll sing a verse of invitation. Maybe you need to come and pray tonight for Israel. Maybe you know some Jewish folks that need the gospel, whatever it is. As we sing page 308, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give.